My name is Natalie Carmel Romano. I am 15 years old. Today is January 3rd, 2019, and I am speaking with Carmel Joanna Romano, who is my grandmother. We are recording this in Julian, California. First question, Nana. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Wow. That covers a lot of territory. Let's see. I was obedient. I didn't have any siblings until I was nine. I had a brother when I was nine, so I had pretty much run of the whole thing. But I was good. My mother was strict. My father was lighthearted and wonderful. And I did a lot of drawing right from the time I was very little, and singing with him. And that was about it. I went to school, of course. We lived in San Mateo, California. That's outside of San Francisco. And I went to the public school there until I went into high school. Then I went into Our Lady of Mercy High School, which was an all-girls Catholic high school in Burlingame.
Awesome. Tell me about your parents.
My parents. Both my parents come from Sicilian background. Their parents were born in Sicily and came to this country. Both of my grandfathers were fishermen off the California coast. And my mother was the third oldest of eight girls. And that had a lot to do with how she thought about things. And my father and she went through high school. She did. She got through high school. And she worked in San Diego in a cannery, fish cannery, tuna cannery. And then she married my dad. And my dad was from San Francisco, born and raised up there. And his father was a fisherman also. And he and two of his brothers went into a business, a fish and poultry business in downtown San Francisco. And, you know, I'm not sure, really. I think what happened is they used to come down to San Diego, different members of his family, because he came from a family of seven, four boys and three girls. And they used to come down and visit some of their married siblings down in San Diego. And he met my mother down here in San Diego. And he was crazy about her right from the start. She was very aloof and could take him or leave him. And they hit it off okay. And they got married in 1934. I was born in January of 1936. Anything else?
Tell me about a teacher or other adult that had a big impact on your life while you were growing up.
That takes a little bit of thought. And since I am now 82 years old, my memory's not what it should be. But I know I always will remember my second grade teacher. She was the first to discover that I had artistic abilities and made me, I've been drawing and stuff, I guess, since I was real little, but I didn't really realize that was anything special. And apparently my parents didn't either, but she brought it all out. Her name was Mrs. Woods. I'll always remember her. And she took an immediate liking to me. And so she had a big influence on my life. But when I graduated eighth grade, my father and mother sent me to an all-girls Catholic high school in Burlingame, California. And at that time, it was still in the mansion of the people who had died and left it to the Catholic Church. It was beautiful. It was the most wonderful thing they could have done for me. I loved it there. It was on a big estate with trees all around, and I had wonderful nuns, especially Sister Mary Vivian, who was a little Spanish. Well, she wasn't Spanish. She was born here in this country, but her parents were from Spain. And she was very artistic, and she loved my artistic ability and took full advantage of it, had me doing all kinds of things all the time. But she was really had a lot to do with my loving that school.
Thank you. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
To myself?
Yes, as a teenager.
Well, actually, for my life, I think for my life, it went along pretty well. I had a lot of friends. I was very outgoing with my friends. Of course, I went to an all-girls high school, so most of my friends were all girls. Of course, you always have your couple of favorites, you know. And but I think I did fine. When I got out of high school, I was a secretary. I didn't take the classes to go back to college. I took all the classes to go into the workforce. Mm. And I became a very good secretary. I was a great stenographer. I could take great shorthand. And you'll find that bosses at that time, now they have all the electronic stuff, but at that time, the bosses just loved that they could give you shorthand, sit there and talk, and you're writing it all down. They loved that. Had a lot to do with their ego, especially the men and everything. Well, I really had all men bosses. Anyway, I did fine. I had to commute from San Mateo to San Francisco, and it was about a 30-minute train ride, but that was no big problem. And so I had a good time. I had friends. We went out all the time. We learned to drive when we were like 18. And, well, I did. A couple of them learned earlier than me. And I don't think there's very much that I would change in my young childhood. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. How has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were young?
You know, this sounds pretty weird, but I didn't imagine anything when I was young. I really took one day at a time. And my life now, at 83, is really very nice. I can't really complain about anything. I've had a pretty nice life. I've had some ups and downs. So, you know, my husband and I got a divorce and stuff like that. But I can't really complain that much when I see the way so many other people have suffered in their life. You know, I really haven't. I've got wonderful children, grown adults with their. I have 8 grandkids, beautiful grandkids, and so I have really nothing to complain about. I thank the dear Lord for all He's given me.
Share with me the story of how you and Nanu met, if you don't mind, and tell me about your wedding and your honeymoon.
Now, I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. You know, at 82, my memory is not what it should be.
You're 83.
Well, I will be 83 this month.
Oh, you're right.
I'm in 15 days, I'll be 83. Anyway, I had a nice wedding. You know, the weddings of those days for Italian-American people. And I had a beautiful white dress, and I've got lots of pictures. I don't know where they are right now, but I've got a lot of pictures somewhere. An album, they're called, you know. And I had a wonderful reception, and I'm trying to remember where we went for our honeymoon, and I can't remember. Yeah, I know where we went. We went up to the gold mining country. My husband, Joe Romano, was from Milwaukee. His family had all moved to California. And he had always wanted to see the gold mining country. And we went up there for about a week and, you know, stayed in different places and gambled and stuff like that. And it was fine. It was good. And then what was the other thing you wanted to know?
I think that's it.
That's it?
That question.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Thank you. What was my dad like when he was growing up? And do you have any favorite stories about him?
No. Joey. Joey is your dad. He is my third child. And I have to tell you, he was a total delight. That kid, he just was wide open. And he wasn't shy in the least bit. In fact, he's a wonderful actor. He's since done all kinds of stuff on stage and dramas and all things like that. And he was like that from the time he was little. He was a little show-off. But he was really never a problem. He was really, I was a little older when I had him, but I was delighted to have him because he was really a wonderful kid. And then as he went through school, he always did well. He did fine. And he did continue getting more and more artistic. And then he began to do acting and stuff in school and got into all of that. And he always treated me with total respect, always wonderful to me. And he is one of the things I love most about him now, is that he's a good husband and a good father. He loves his family dearly. They're first for him. And I'm so glad to see that. And he loves the Lord. He got close to the Lord and maintains that. And I'm going to start crying because I love him so much. And he is such a wonderful, turned out to be a wonderful human being. And I thank the Lord for that because they're close. He and Jesus are close.
What was the worst thing you remember that Dad did when he was a kid?
I can't say anything. He didn't do anything like that. He wasn't stupid ever. He was always smart in the way that, you know, he didn't do things that were going to hurt him. He wasn't afraid to do anything. He was out there doing everything, but he had a kind of a knowledge to know how. And be careful. And that had a lot to do with his father, because his father, Joe, was the same way. He was an outdoor person, totally. He was a hunter, and he was a totally outdoor person. And he had that same kind of attitude, and he instilled that in his son. In fact, both his sons, because my oldest son is that way, too. So I never had to worry about stuff like that. He was fine. He always, he was never a little boy that came running, mommy, mommy, mommy. He never liked that. He was very dignified. and he was tough. He never had a problem with other kids. Other kids loved him, all of them. They all wanted to be his friend. So there was never a problem with that. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that he was not needy. He was very secure within himself and with his family. And he was not needy, and they wanted to be part of him. Yeah. Thank
you. If you don't mind, can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
In my life? This is about me?
Yes.
Well, I've had a lot of them. Well, actually, my husband and I had a divorce. And that breaking up stuff was very, very hard, you know, because it involved a lot of things that I had not known and a lot of stuff that was very hurtful. And so that was very, very hard. And that was probably the worst thing that ever happened in my life. So I guess it could have been a lot worse, and I know a lot of people got a lot worse. So I'm very grateful that's all there is, and I'm also very grateful for my faith.
What are you proudest of, personally and professionally, in your life?
Personally, my family, my wonderful children and grandchildren. They mean everything to me. They are my life. In my personal life, what am I proud of? Well, I can do things. I'm artistic. And I'm proud of the fact that I can draw and I can paint. And I can write, too. I'm a pretty good writer. And so that stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, you know, during my working career, I have to mention, I was a really good stenographer. I loved shorthand. And those were the days where you took it by hand with a pencil and a notebook. And I loved it. And so I was always very proud of that, showed that off. And my bosses loved it, too. They loved to sit there and dictate to me, you know, and I'd be writing everything out there. Yeah, it was fun. It was good. And I worked for lawyers, you know, so there were a lot of cases that went up and down because my bosses were lawyers. Oh, and I also worked for the San Mateo County School Department for about 3 years before we moved down to south, you know. But and that was great, too, because I could use my artistic ability, because I worked for three education advisors that put together study guides. And they needed illustrations in their study guides, and I did them.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I used to have some around, but the fire probably burned everything down.
Oh, darn. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
I really can't, because there's so many. It would be very hard to pick one, really. I'm sure it would have to do with my kids and my grandkids, though, because they are the joy of my life. I have three wonderful adult kids, and I have these eight beautiful grandkids. So I really have a lot to be thankful for.
Thank you. Tell me one of your favorite memories of me, if you can.
Of you, Natalie?
Of me, Natalie.
You know, I don't really have any favorites because you're a wonderful little girl. You always were, right from the time you were little. First of all, you were a beautiful little baby and always with a smile and just a little charmer for all your life. Well, not that your life is so long right now, you know, but up to now, you've always been a little charmer and I love your... you're very much like your mother, and I love that because she's terrific, and she's strong, and I think you're strong too, and you're going to stay strong, and you have the right things going for you.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
Not a thing.
That's fine.
If you don't know about it, then I don't know what else I can tell you. Everything's out in the open. There hasn't been anything happening in the last 20 years that I can think of that you would have to find out that was hidden. So, no, I don't think so.
Cool beans. What are your hopes and wishes for me or for my children?
I just want you to keep going the way you're going. I think you have a wonderful attitude about yourself. Your mother has this, and I think you have it like your mother. And you're kind to everyone. You're very outgoing. You are not selfish. And all of these things are good, wonderful things. And I really think that you have all the ability to do whatever you want in life. You're very, very intelligent. You have artistic tendencies that are beautiful and wonderful in every way, in drawing and painting and singing and acting and everything, you can do it. And your father was like that. He could do all those things. And you're like him in that, except that you're more mellow. He was always a little rambunctious, but but you're mellow and you seem to be at peace with yourself. And I really love that about you. And always hold Jesus's hand and you're going to be okay.
Okay, last question. Thinking about your family many generations from now and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them? Any wisdom or advice you would like to share? Because this is going in the archives. And
yeah, I really don't think so. I think I've said in this interview just about everything that I would want them to know and everything that I want to share with them. I think the bottom line is faith. Faith is what's gotten me through. There is another being out there. There's, we call him God or Jesus, who is also his son. But I realize that it's there. I think that's the bottom line. If you can really believe that he's there, and he wants only the best for you. And that if you follow his rules about other people and his Ten Commandments, you're going to be okay. That's really a formula for life, those Ten Commandments. And I've seen people follow those who had a wonderful life. And if you don't, you have to pay the consequences. Not that you can't get past that. You can. There's provisions for that, too. And I think that's the bottom line, is not being self-absorbed all the time. You know, reaching out if somebody needs help, helping them, you know, and not laying all your rules and laws on top of everybody. They have to find their own. If they ask for advice, give it to them as best you can. But don't expect everybody to be like you, because it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Thank you so much, Nana. That's the end of our interview. Oh. And this shall be saved so that my children and grandchildren can hear it.
Great.
I know. Isn't that rad?
Oh, your children and grandchildren. I will be in heaven then, Laura. Please.
Thank you so much, Nana.
Okay.